Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me. Like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh. Or curating the best pop playlist you've ever heard in your life. And even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T. Period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Overreaction Podcast, brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I am your host, Joe Miller, the voice of the Overreaction Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. Yesterday, I watched Josh Allen walk into Hard Rock Stadium and kick the mother trucking door down and told the NFL, look, I have officially arrived. I know you saw me last week, and I know you didn't believe it because all I saw from last week was some stupid missed pass that I threw that, oh, by the way, a whole bunch of other people have thrown. Very, very talented. What you, Mr. Narrative Guy, calls an elite passer. Yes, I made a similar throw, but you wouldn't let it go. So what did I do? I walked into Hard Rock. I went to Miami. I kicked the freaking door down, and I'm letting you know I'm here. That is Josh Allen. And I'll be honest with you, I could probably end the show right there. But I can't. Welcome into the show, everybody. Welcome into the Overreaction Podcast. A 2-0 week 2 edition, heart attack, another heart attack episode of the Overreaction Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Allen has arrived. I don't know what more you need to see. I don't know what more I need to tell you. I told you. I've been telling you for I don't know how long that we were not going to know who Josh Allen truly was until probably about week 8. And we're already seeing glimpses of it. The step forward that he has taken in progression in just 2 games of year 3. The only word I can use is breathtaking. Breathtaking. I literally can't believe some of the stuff that I'm seeing from this kid, from this young man. Now, listen, I'm going to preface it by telling you that there's no way in hell or Hades or whatever that I think that he's going to play like he played yesterday on Sunday against the Dolphins every single week. It's just not going to happen. But if what we're seeing is the beginnings of the glimpse of the Josh Allen ceiling, look out. Look out, world. You have a reason. We have been looking for a reason quarterback after quarterback. I was there when Drew Bledsoe came to town. You know, we've gone through all of them, whether it was we finally found our guy in Ryan Fitzpatrick, Kyle Orton was going to come and save us, the Losman debacle, the Kelly Holcomb debacle, the Trent Edwards debacle, all the way through Tyrod Taylor, who we all genuinely loved. Let's not forget the third, one of the three first-round draft picks that the Bills have taken on a quarterback, E.J. Manuel. We all loved E.J. What happened to E.J.? We have been waiting for 20 years. Rob Johnson, Doug Flutie. We have been waiting for 20 years to have a quarterback. It's not overreacting to tell you to finally believe in the quarterback. The football team does. You're talking about a team. I've got this way down on my notes, but I'm going to talk about it right now just because it's flowing. You're talking about a team. They're first and 10 at the 6-inch line, backed into their own end zone. And what did the Bills do? They run a slant and gain 6 yards. Ownership trusts him. The coaches trust him. His teammates trust him. Everybody trusts him. What are you waiting for? It's time to trust Josh Allen. Fourth quarter. The Bills have a lead that they're trying to hold on to. I'm sitting on my couch screaming for them to run the football. Josh Allen throws up a ball to John Brown and misdirects him. It doesn't almost get picked off, but it wasn't the greatest throw. Even the broadcaster, Sparodita, said that had he led him properly, he probably scores on that play. We're all screaming at that point, run the football. What does he do? He drops back, he throws it again, scores a touchdown. If you've been hanging out on the fence, waiting, I'm going to even give you this one. If you are the guy or the girl, and there's not too many girls because Josh Allen's a cute dude. If you were the guy who has been sitting over there on the other side of the field talking about how Josh Allen is never going to amount to anything, I'm going to give you, I don't even need to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm just going to give you a pass. Come on over. Come on over to this side of the fence because it's time. It's time. Josh Allen walked into Hard Rock Stadium, kicked the door down, and announced to the world, not only are the Buffalo Bills here, but I'm here. Now, hang on a second, Joe. Hang on. They didn't exactly win 51-3. They didn't win by 40 points. They didn't win by 3 touchdowns. That game got a little bit shaky, and it did. But it's not necessarily what happens, or what I should say, it's not necessarily what the final score says that tells you what the outcome of a game actually was. Josh Allen never got rattled in that football game. Josh Allen made, from my count, probably 3 mistakes. There was a couple errant passes that Stephon Diggs gave up. Not gave up, but he stopped mid-route. The head he kept running, he would have caught. Allen's stat line, believe it or not, could have looked better. Think about that for a second. Think about that for a second when I tell you, and you already know, 417 yards, 4 touchdowns, a completion percentage of 68%, with a quarterback rating of 147. Now, let's not talk about QBR because it's probably going to be like 30 because that's what they do to him all the time. That's a joke. He's probably not going to be 30. He's probably going to be pretty high this week. It's time. It's time for everybody to get on board the Josh Allen hype train. I'm not saying he's going to play perfect football forever. I'm just telling you that the kid is showing us something. He's growing up right before our eyes. Growing up right before our eyes. I think Nate Burleson said that on the halftime show. It's amazing. It's incredible. I don't know what more some of you need to see. I don't know what more the national media needs to see. And the funny thing is the national media is starting to come around. It's incredible to see some of the tweets, some of the comments, some of the things that are out there already. And I'm recording this show on Sunday. It's not even Monday for me yet. And the things that the about faces that people are already beginning to take. Make no mistake, Bills Mafia, Josh Allen has officially announced his arrival. Yes, it took him 3 years. But if you look, I said this on the Hump Day Hotline on Wednesday. If you look at Josh Allen's progression and if you look at his career and the route that he took to get to the NFL, which was not by any stretch of the means easy. If there is a story in the NFL that the NFL should be gravitating towards and jumping on, it's the Josh Allen story. Who never had a shot in hell of playing quarterback in high school and going to college. Who never had a shot in hell of going from college to a D1 school. Who never had a shot in hell of going from a D1 school to the NFL. Who never had a shot in hell of becoming a starting quality NFL quarterback. He has proven every single naysayer in his life completely wrong, including me. I've admitted it on this show. I'm not going to start denying it now. I wanted Josh Rosen. Whoops. So did you. None of us really wanted Josh. There's a handful of people that wanted Allen. But coming off of 20, 25 years of garbage quarterbacks, the last thing I wanted was a 3-year project. So if you encapsulate Josh Allen's career, his storied career in three that he's had in 2 years and two games, you can pretty much scratch that 2018 season completely. If you're talking about a kid that was 10 to 20,000 reps behind Baker Mayfield, 10 to 20,000 reps passes behind Sam Darnold, we should probably just call the 2019 season his rookie year, and this is year two for him. So if I'm going to overreact and get ahead of myself, which is clearly what we're doing today, what did Pat Mahomes' second year look like? You can think about it. You know what it looked like. What did it look like? It was pretty nice. It was pretty great, wasn't it? So what if we took Josh Allen's career and just assumed that he got out a little too early or started sooner than he was supposed to, which we all knew was true because of the Nathan Peterman experiment. And what if we just assume that this is Josh Allen's second year? Good Lord. Good Lord. I don't know what some people need to see. Let's do this. Let's take a look at some stats from the game real quick. All right, so here we go. So what do we got? We'll start. I've already given you Josh Allen's stat line, which was 417 yards, four touchdowns, for 68% completion percentage, 147 passer rating. Devin Singletary on the day, 10 carries for 56 yards. His long was an 18. Zach Moss, 8 carries, 37 yards. Long was a 14-yarder. Josh Allen had 4 carries. They've got him scheduled. They've got him out for 4 carries. I only remember him running the ball once, but they've got him for 4 carries, 18 yards. Gabe Davis with 1 rush for nothing, and that was on that weird weird wildcat thing that they probably shouldn't have done. Stephon Diggs, did he have himself a day? Stephon Diggs was targeted 13 times, had 8 receptions for 153 yards and a touchdown, along a 47. John Brown, 4 for 82 with a touchdown. Cole Beasley, 5 for 70 yards. It's crazy. Isaiah McKenzie, 2 for 47. Dawson Knox, 1 for 38. He had the fumble on that play. Devin Singletary, 2 for 20. Gabe Davis on that brilliant one catch, 6 yard touchdown play that we all thought was a drop. I sat there on the couch just like, please God, make that a catch. Please God, make that a catch. Please God. What a huge, huge play for the rookie. What a huge play for the rookie. And then obviously Reggie Gilliam with his one catch for 1 yard and a touchdown. So Josh Allen's TD makers this week, Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Gabe Davis, Reggie Gilliam. I'm sure that you watched the game. If you did not get a chance to watch the game, I definitely don't want to spoil it. But I want to get into real quick, just a quick summary of the game as far as just things that I took notes. You know, let's be honest about some things, first of all. So let's be honest, and, you know, we're going to tell the truth. So we're going to overreact. That's what we do. The Bills are 2-0. Josh Allen had his coming out party. As I said, you know, I've pretty much determined, or I've made it clear that I feel that Josh Allen is going to be who Josh Allen is by week 8 of this season, good or bad. It's looking like it's going to be really good. So we're going to know what his ceiling, his potential consistent ceiling is going to be by week 8. He's shown up pretty early. But even with that, that doesn't mean that he's going to have great games every single week. But we're going to tell the truth on this show. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I'm not going to talk about, you know, I'm not going to pretend like things aren't bad when they are. I'm not going to pretend like they're good, I should say, when they're bad. I'm not going to pretend like they're bad when they're good. You know, if I can be as honest as possible. And that gets into another topic that I'll get to here in a second. But Josh Allen, last week I said he's got a problem fumbling. I finally was willing to admit that Josh Allen has a problem fumbling. He does. Josh Allen has a problem holding onto the football. Now, yesterday, Sunday's game, he did not have a problem holding onto the football. Great. He also did not really put the ball in harm's way. He had no interceptions. He had no turnovers. However, Josh Allen is really bad rolling to his left. Like, really bad. Like, he gets a little erratic. So if there's something left that Josh Allen has to work on, it's probably that rolling to his left piece. He did look very comfortable in the pocket yesterday. All day. Like, there wasn't a moment where he looked hurried or frazzled or rattled. It was incredible. The touch passes. He was throwing touch pass. He almost looks, it was weird. He almost looks like a different quarterback than what we saw last year when he was rifling passes in as hard as he possibly could. Bruce Nolan has talked about it. The fact that when you've got an arm like Josh Allen, you don't have to throw with anticipation because you can beat any cornerback if you've allowed separation to the wide receiver because Josh Allen can beat you with his arm. He was throwing touch passes all over the place. Just beautiful, beautiful touch passes. I'm reminded immediately of the second drive of the day. They punted on the first drive. Second drive, they went down the field methodically. He links up with Reggie Gilliam that we just talked about a second ago for Reggie's first touchdown as a Bill. And you knew when Jones went out in that first series, when Jones pulled his groin or whatever he did, trying to cover Stephon Diggs, you knew when he pulled his groin that game was going to look probably a little bit different, right? I mean, there's an aspect of like, you know, you've got Howard, you know, they just signed Jones to that big contract. And you're like, man, we're gonna have a long day on the outside of the field, like getting the ball to John Brown as to Stephon Diggs. So I said it on the preview show, like we're gonna have to work the middle of the field with Cole Beasley. Their linebackers aren't that great, which you know today pretty much exposed that as well. Their linebacking core isn't super great. Their defensive line is pretty good. But I called in my preview show that I released on Saturday where they're going to have to work the middle of the field a little bit with Beasley, work some of the underneath stuff, probably some screen passes, some dump offs. And then Jones goes out and gets hurt. And you're like, oh, this game is, it's not over, but this game is going to take on a whole different look. Well, it did. And then it did again, right? I mean, wait for it. The Bills are going to give you a heart attack at some point in time. And oh my gosh, did they give us a heart attack? Allen looks like a different quarterback. Try to remember what Josh Allen looked like in 2018. And I just got done telling you that 2018 is almost like a giveaway year, right? So that's Josh Allen. That's almost his senior year in college. But even from that year to 2019 and a lot of what we saw in 19 when he was just rifling the ball as hard as he possibly could. I mean, like, you know, he could throw the ball through a brick wall and sometimes he threw it through his receivers. You know, there's a great deal of commentary that hasn't been done on the fact that, you know, Josh Allen led the league two seasons in a row in drop percentage. And you probably could credit that some to Josh Allen because he throws the ball through his receiver's hands sometimes. He just throws it too hot. Josh Allen looked like a different quarterback yesterday. He looked like a different quarterback on Sunday. Calm. Poised. Taking what the defense would give him at times. Never rushing his throw. Never hurrying the pass in the sense of like throwing it too hard. He took a sack, and he probably didn't need to take that sack, but he took a sack. But I believe it was only one sack that he took. He threw that one ball away, and I think they tried to get him for intentional grounding, but they pulled the ball up, and it was something else. It was a defensive holding call, right? We all got nervous they were going to call him for grounding, and it was a defensive holding call, and we ended up with a first down out of it. But Josh Allen looks like a different quarterback, and I like the Josh Allen we see. And the reason that I like the Josh Allen we're seeing right now is because I know the other side of that Josh Allen, which means that if he needs to fire the ball past the defender, he can. Bills Mafia, you need to be excited. You need to be on the edge of your seat with anticipation and excitement for the next 10 years as a Buffalo Bills fan, because this kid is going to keep you on the edge of your seat, and he's going to throw balls. You're going to make your jaw drop, and we're going to win a lot of football games with this kid. I said it on the Hump Day Hotline. This is a good team right now. They're a good football team, and they've got a good quarterback. And they may have the best wide receiver group in the NFL, 1 through 4. Name me a better wide receiver group, 1 through 4. And all you need to see is that catch from Gabe Davis, a rookie. That was a very, very difficult catch. And yes, the defense struggled at times on Sunday in that football game. You know, the Dolphins were clipping off 10-yard chunks, like bang, 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 10 yards, 10 yards. And I'll get into it in a second. But if you're not on this build, if you're looking for reasons to be negative, if you're looking for reasons to, I don't know what the word is, poop on everybody's party, rain on everybody's parade, it's time to jump off that bus and it's time to get on the wagon. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Let's pay some bills. You are listening to the Overreaction podcast. Brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I am the host of the Overreaction Podcast, the voice, if you will. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram, too. But yeah, let's take a quick break. I'll see you in just about a minute or two. What's going on, everybody? This is Joe Miller, the voice of the Overreaction Podcast, and I want to take just a few seconds to talk to you about the Blend Buffalo. Whether you are a self-proclaimed fitness nut or simply love the nutrition a protein bar provides your body in a daily grab-it-and-go snack, I have to tell you that the Blend Bar is exactly what your body's craving. Made in-house by Grematis with only 4 all-natural ingredients, these bars are chocked full of goodness. They don't have the excess chemicals and preservatives of a traditional store-bought bar, and believe me when I tell you, these bars are an absolute crowd favorite. Oh, and you want over the top? Check this out. Other than the chocolate chips, the Blend Bar is gluten-free and completely vegan. Pretty sweet, huh? So before you reach for that candy bar full of sugar and preservatives, give your body what it really wants, a Blend Bar from the Blend Buffalo. Go to theblendbuffalo.com right now, put in the promo code GOBILLS into your cart, and receive 20% off of any order you place, courtesy of the Overreaction Podcast. Welcome into the Overreaction Podcast with your host, the voice of the Overreaction Podcast, Joe Miller, brought to you by The Market Dominator. And who is The Market Dominator, you might ask? Well, let me tell you, real quick. The Market Dominator is one of my very, very, very good friends. His name is John Spaschek. He is a real estate broker with Keller Williams here in the Buffalo Erie County market. He can also help you if you are not in Western New York. But John is pretty much the best. I'm on record as saying he is the best real estate broker in all of Erie County. He's consistently rewarded and awarded as such. John is just tapped into everything that's going on. And the reality is if you were looking to sell a home, if you're looking to buy a home, specifically sell a home, and you're looking to get max value or max price for that house, you need to call an expert. And John is an expert. He opens doors through exceptional client care and education. He's not only going to help sell your home for top dollar, but he's going to lead you through the entire transition of selling and buying your home as a life transition specialist would. You can reach John at 716-570-3298. That number again, 716-570-3298. You can reach him, you can email him, I should say, yourelitebroker@gmail.com, yourelitebroker@gmail.com. Do me a favor. Do me this favor. When you call John, notice I didn't say if. If you want the best, call the best. When you call John, tell him that you heard about him from the Overreaction Podcast. And yes, John is a Bills fan. Go Bills. So welcome back into the show. So this is what I want to do. I want to take just a minute and explain the Overreaction Podcast to the listeners. Because my listener base grew in what I would consider an unpredictable rate last week. So to give you a reference, and I'm not ashamed, and I'm humble enough to admit that last year, this podcast started in October of last year, 2019, as kind of like an experiment for me for work. I started at the bye week. The first couple weeks that it was out, I had like 6 listeners, half of which were me listening on my phone and my computer and listening in the car and just the TV, just different places, just trying to hear how the sound was working the production out. By the end of the season, I got picked up by Fanatics, and my listenership was running in the 100s, 200s, 300s, and there was steady growth, right? There was steady growth through the offseason, even with COVID. But the ramp up and the build up into this season, and I'm not going to give numbers away for this season, but it is insane to me how many people are listening to the show now. So if you are new to the show, so whether it's this week, last week, or even within the last couple weeks, first of all, welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, on the way to work, or at the gym with your AirPods in, thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to me basically just get emotional about our Buffalo Bills. So I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate you being a part of the show, listening in. I want you to be a part of it even as such that I want you to tweet at me, and I want you to like respond to things. So like Thursday or Sundays after games, I put out there, you know, how's everybody feeling, blah, blah, blah. So do me a favor, respond to those things. And I'll read your tweets on the air. However, it's prudent for me to take just a minute to explain the concept premise of this show. This show is titled The Overreaction Podcast for a reason. I am looking to, Joe Miller, your host, I'm looking to encapsulate, harness, work off of live inside of the energy and the emotion that we as Bills fans feel after a football game. I am exactly like you. I am not a journalist. I'm not a broadcast major. I went to college for marketing. I'm a vocational minister. Like, I'm not even, like, I was in sales for a long time. I have zero experience in radio. Yes, I've been on stage a lot. I've held microphones. I've talked to thousands of people on stage, but I've never done anything like this outside of this podcast. However, I'm also not an X's and O's guy. The Buffalo market has some amazing, talented X's and O's guys. And they are my go-tos. But when you look at the format of my show, I just want you to know what to expect. I am not here to tell you what the left tackle did on the third play of the seventh drive of the game. I'm not here to tell you, you know, why the defensive backfield collapsed, you know, somewhere in the third quarter. I'm here basically to drive off of the emotions that all of us feel. And then what happens is after the All 22 comes out, and the really, really smart guys that aren't as emotional as me have a chance to look at the film, their podcasts come out. And they begin to either validate the emotions that we feel, you and I, or they pretty much just tell us we're crazy. So I was having a conversation with Bruce Nolan. I was having a conversation with Bruce Nolan via direct message. I don't know. It was probably Thursday. And we're going back and forth. We were just talking about the game last week against the Jets. And I was talking about, you know, just the fact that the Bills seemed to take their foot off the gas in the third quarter. And I asked last week, you know, if you listened, you remember, I said, you know, I don't know if it's the Bills taking their foot off the gas and they're like getting a little more conservative and what I call turtle shelling, or if it's just a lack of execution. Maybe somebody can tell me. So I was asking him those questions because the reality is I don't want to just be an emotional moron. Like, I want to know what I'm talking about to some extent. And it was funny because he was like, well, Joe, in my analysis, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And he was talking about how, like, from everything that he saw and what he could tell, like, there was no taking the foot off the gas per se. Yes, there were some execution issues, but they remained aggressive as a football team, even in the third quarter last week against the Jets. Which is funny because, you know, at this point, Bruce is a very good friend of mine. So I'll just read you the conversation. I said, my only criticism was that was what I said, which is if a decision was made to not have Allen put the ball at risk again and go to the backs, why run the ball straight into Williams, Quentin Williams of the Jets, seemingly every single play? Was it just brick wallish? But obviously, execution is a very big factor. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so just stick with me for a second. So this is the bevy of replies from Bruce, and then I'll give you my reply, and then I'll get to the point. He said, I can see a logical path to that decision. Cody Ford's first game at guard. Let's not have him do a lot of zone blocking or pulling to seal an edge. Both of our backs run in the 4-6 range. So outside zone is out. Toss sweep is out. McKenzie passes to the perimeter. Serve as an outside run game. Safer due to forward pass drops being incomplete and still maintains the threat of interior runs. So linebackers have to stay committed to downhill action, which helps McKenzie on the corner. To which I said, which all makes sense. And this is where I'm going with this. This is where I'm going with all of this. To which I replied to him, and this is what I want you to hear from me. All of which makes sense on Thursday after the win, right? But on Sunday at 3 p.m., that's when we're all freaking out because we don't know what's going on. So wrapping all of that up into a little bow, and then I'm going to move on from this. For those of you that are new to my show, this show is about the emotions that we feel on Sunday and Monday after the game. And then what I do is I let there be room because we can't all do the same thing. I want there to be room, and I want you guys to go to the X's and O's dudes that break this stuff down and tell us what really happened, what really went wrong, what really went right, and how we were all wrong in the way that we reacted. So that being that is basically the concept for all of you newbies to the show. So I took 2 minutes of your time. I apologize. I thought it was relevant and pertinent. If you didn't like that, I'm sorry. But getting back to my notes, which the amount of chicken scratch that I have from this week, this game, I know that not every single football would be boring if the Bills came out and did what the Ohio State Buckeyes do and basically blow out every single team they play, right? I lived in Columbus, Ohio for 13 years. And, like, the fans in Columbus and their Buckeyes, it's funny because, like, you know, they get all excited about these games where they're playing, you know, Akron, the Akron Zips. And it's like, bro, they're going to beat them 77-0. And it's like, yeah, but it's, I got to watch the game. It's like, what are you going to watch? And then they get mad if they beat them 51-0. Like, that's not necessarily football that I want. I just don't want the third quarter heart attack every single game. Like, every single game, we seem to get that third quarter heart attack. But this game, it had all that and more. Like, I don't, like, they cut to commercial, right? So they cut to commercial, and then they come back, and it's the Steelers and Broncos game, and I'm like, WTF? Like, at one point, I accused my daughter of sitting on the remote control. Like, what happened to the game? And she's like, I didn't do anything. And I'm like, you did something. And she's like, I didn't do anything. So, like, and then I realized the remote control is next to me. And, like, sure enough, you know, like, we've got the Broncos, or, you know, the Broncos and the Steelers, which, by the way, was probably the most boring game of the entire weekend. Like, they couldn't get us to something that was good. They got us to the Broncos and Steelers game. It's, like, rough. And it went on and on. And finally, we find out that the quote-unquote power, and I loved hearing the announcer, Sparrow, say, like, we had a major power outage out here in Miami. Apparently, that's not true. Apparently, the power went out in the truck, the broadcast truck, not in the stadium and not around town, which is why they still had replays of Stephon Diggs, who we all missed. Stephon Diggs' very first touchdown as a Buffalo Bill, which, that's a story for another day and a frustration for another day. Granted, we got a replay, which was great, which just proves to you that the power was not out. There was not a major power outage in the stadium. The power was out in the truck from everything that I've heard so far. So then we progress on, blah, 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 blah. Game keeps playing. Bills are playing good. It's really great, right? And then the lightning strike. And it's like, all right, the Bills come out at the half, and they're not doing well. It's typical third quarter stuff, right? And what happens? They have to go in the locker room for 36 minutes. And I'm just sitting there on the couch. I'm like, oh, my God, this can't be good. This can't be good. They're going to come out. They're going to be, like, dead-legged. They're going to be, like, tired. Like, they're not going to be able to run around. As much as a lot of these guys are from Southeast Florida or the South, like, they live in Buffalo now. So they're going to be hot and they're going to be tired. And, like, I can only imagine. I lived in Florida when I was a kid, and I remember how that heat exhaustion feeling. And the Dolphins are used to it, blah, 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 blah. Ugh. And then sure enough, what happens? The Dolphins, you know, they take the lead, and it's just like, ugh. So they get the ball back, and they get within 4 points of us. And like, there was just a barrage of stuff, right? That kind of just happened. Like that blindside block, quote unquote, blindside block on Isaiah McKenzie, personal foul. And if that's the definition of a blind, if you are blindside blocking somebody when they're staring at you in the eyes and you're looking them at the eyes because you're not moving, I mean, if anything, that's a charge, right? I mean, I don't watch a lot of basketball, but if I'm not mistaken, Isaiah McKenzie's feet were planted. And if his feet are planted and the guy barrels into him, that's a charge, right? I mean, that's the whole meme, right? Blocker charge. Oh, good Lord. And then it just went downhill. Like the Bills had this commanding lead. It was just such a Billsy moment, right? And I don't want to take you back through it because clearly we came out on the other side and it was amazing. But like the Bills couldn't stop anything. And I talked about it in my preview show on Saturday that was released on Saturday and was on Sunday. That Gesicki is going to have a very good game. You know, Fitzy loves the middle of the field. Without, you know, Milano there, without, you know, obviously Edmonds there, you know, I like Dodson. I he's a good kid. He's a great story. I've actually got notes on him, so I'm going to talk about him in a second. Like, however, and Klein was a good pickup, but the Milano and Edmonds not being there hurt, and I knew it was going to hurt, and everybody knew it was going to hurt. We all talked about it. Everybody that's got a show talked about the fact that those two being gone was going to hurt. But my Lord. Every single play was either straight up the middle for a 10-yard chunk on this Bills defense, or it was a tight end, wide receiver, slot receiver, somebody running back working their way perfectly between the hash marks in the middle of the field, and Fitzy hitting them over and over and over. And don't even get me started on Levi Wallace. Is the Levi Wallace experiment over? I remember coming into this season just a couple weeks ago and like, people on other shows, people on Buffalo Fanatics, like I'm having conversations and like, oh no, I think Levi is going to be good this year. I think, you know, every player has to grow and, you know, Levi's young and blah, blah. Levi has not grown. This was legit the Cleveland Browns game part two from last year. At one point in time, he had been targeted 9 times, and that was at the 12-minute mark of the third quarter, meaning that 3 minutes had gone off the clock in the third quarter. I heard Sparrow say at one point in time, or maybe it was Archuleta, he had been targeted 13 times, and like they had racked up 112 yards on him. It was very much Fitzpatrick walks to the line, locates Levi Wallace, snaps the ball, completes the pass to Levi Wallace's guy, rinse and repeat. It was maddening, and I know you felt it. And then the goal line stand, which was great, and I had a conversation with somebody just about the fact that Levi had quote-unquote good position on the dropped pass on the goal line stand. But the reality was Levi's guy dropped a ball that was a touchdown. So this win, it's a win, and we're flying high, and I'm going somewhere with all of this. We're flying high on Josh Allen. High on Josh Allen. But make no mistake, any other team is beating our britches off across the middle. And if any other team can play defense, that game isn't going to come about quite as easy maybe as this one did. Is all I'm trying to say. All I'm trying to say. Tre'Davious White gave up his first touchdown since 2018. He gave it up to Gesicki. I like Mike Gesicki. I liked him last year. I had him on a couple of my fantasy teams. Like, he'll vanish for a couple games in a row, but the kid's got talent. And for some reason, he shows up against the Bills, like, often. So there's a lot of stuff that happened. There was a lot of things that, you know, I don't want to say went wrong, but there was a lot of things that got us nervous as Bills fans, right? There was a lot of stuff that was like, this team and its ability to just PTSD us to death. There's a reason that the word "that's so Billsy" exists. You know what's Billsy? Stephon Diggs. We have our first real legit number one wide receiver on this football team as a franchise since Eric Moulds. You know what's Billsy? A blackout happening, and we miss his first career touchdown as a Buffalo Bill. There's a reason that this word exists. How Billsy is the Bills having a dominating performance. There's a lightning strike against a bad football team. There's a lightning strike. They all have to go in the locker room for 30 minutes, come back out, and the Bills aren't anywhere near as fresh as the team that they're playing when they come back out. Billsy, right? So the Bills, they just do this to us. And I'm sure, I know that all of my nerves and all of my emotion and all of my overreaction is going to get settled later this week. And I appreciate the guys that are going to do it. Thank you. I love you guys. Thank you. But right now, there's an aspect of like, man, we got to get the defense figured out. Like, are we going to play the Rams without Milano and Edmonds? Because if we are, we better go find somebody quick. Because I promise you, Jared Goff is going to work the middle of the field a lot against us. And they have a great defense. But that's why they play a full 60 minutes. And thank God they played a full 60 minutes. So we're going to spend the last couple minutes of this show. I want to talk about just a couple positive things that I loved about this football game. And then I want to talk about Josh Allen real quick. Stephon Diggs made huge catches in this game. Huge. Yes, there was a couple plays where he was a little out of sync with Josh Allen. And there was a couple misses. Whatever. He made a couple. That ball, when he high-pointed it and took it away from both of their defenders, you have not seen a Buffalo Bills wide receiver do that. And I don't know how long it's been. That is the guy we've been missing for a very, very long time. The ball that he ran all the way, or the catch that he ran all the way across the field, what they call a sprint route or something like that, and he caught it, tapped his 2 feet down, and like slid under the bench. Huge play. Take it in, Bills Mafia. Enjoy every minute of watching Stephon Diggs play with Josh Allen. And don't think for a second that I'm not concerned about him getting hurt, because I am. He plays with a little bit of reckless abandon. He plays like he wants to play football. He wants to win football games, and he puts his body at risk a little bit. Josh Allen does as well. The difference is Diggs has been hurt in his career. So we may not have him for a full season, so enjoy every minute that we have him. However, that dude is a legit number one wide receiver. I told you that last week. I'm telling you that again. He is a legit number one wide receiver, and he's making everybody else on that football team around him on that offense better. It's incredible. How about this? Aaron Quinn, my buddy Aaron Quinn will appreciate this. Trent Murphy has put two games in a row together. all of us, except for pretty much Aaron Quinn, wanted Trent Murphy cut. We could put that $8 million into Yannick Ngakoue. We could put that $8 million into Jadeveon Clowney. We could put that $8 million into anybody else because Trent Murphy isn't worth the money that we're paying him. Well, Trent Murphy has put together two really nice football games. So kudos to Trent Murphy. I told you I was going to talk about Tyrell Dodson. I'm going to talk about Tyrell Dodson. He wasn't lost out there. He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. He didn't get abused in any way. He's a great story as well, if you know his story about some of the trouble that he got into. The Bills stuck with him. They talked about it a little bit on the broadcast. I want to see more of this kid. No, I don't want to see him replace Edmonds, so don't get the wrong idea. Like, don't get way ahead of me. This isn't the great Buffalo underdog spirit, and I'm thinking that, like, somehow this kid's going to magically become the greatest, like, linebacker ever. But I like the story. I like the fact that he showed up. I like the fact that the game wasn't too big for him. It was great. You're looking at a team that learned how to win last year. And they had to call upon that experience that they felt or that they went through last year, and they had to pull that out this year to win this game already. Game two. Josh Allen already has a comeback game for a win. Second game of the season. I wish it wasn't against the Dolphins. I wish it wasn't game two of the season. But this team rallied around itself, rallied around each other. The defense made stops when they needed to make stops. The offense came through when they needed to come through. Josh Allen talked about it in his presser that none of them weren't nervous. They weren't tight. They were loose. They were ready to go. They were ready to handle their business. It was great. I talked about this a little bit earlier. This is a team that trusts their quarterback. This is a team that trusts their quarterback. Do not for 1 second downplay how important that what I'm saying is, that this is a team who trusts their quarterback. Because frankly, we have not had that. Bledsoe? I talked about it earlier, like a couple minutes ago. Like, it's 1st and 10 on the 6-inch line. It was actually 1st and 10 on the 1 yard line. Or something around there, inside the one. And they had the false start penalty on Williams. For some reason, I feel like that first play that they were going to run was going to be a run play. And then when they got backed up to the 6-inch line, they're like, you know what, Josh, throw it. And he did, and he completed a slant pass for 6 yards and got him out of trouble. We talked about the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter of that football game, what happens? We're all sitting on our couches screaming for them to run the football and run the clock out, and like he's dropping back and throwing bombs down the field, and he missed a bad one to John Brown. And you're like, okay, enough getting cute. Run the ball, run the clock out, let's go. He drops back to pass and chucks another one out there. And sure enough, John Brown comes down with it, touchdown. And that put the game away. Right? I mean, that sealed the game. Don't underestimate the importance, how important it is that this franchise, ownership, the general manager, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the coaching staffs, and this team trust their quarterback. If there's anything you need to see to prove to you that Josh Allen is growing as a quarterback, if the stats don't tell you the story, if the throws aren't telling you the story, if the command of the offense isn't telling you the story, if you're still stuck on some of the bad balls he throws when he's rolling out to his left, or if you get, which by the way, last week, the two that he threw were rolling out to his left. The two today were rolling out to his left. If you're still stuck on that, if you feel like he runs too much, if you feel like he's too reckless, if you can't come to grips with anything inside of his play to make you land in a space that Josh Allen is a good quarterback and is going to get better, even better than you see right now, start to believe in the fact that his team believes in him. Start to believe in the fact that his team believes in him, because they do, and so should you. I want to take the last couple minutes of this show, the last couple minutes, to talk about Josh Allen narratives. And these are not only narratives from fans or people that we see on Twitter or Facebook. Because the party poopers are out there. These are narratives that have been championed and driven by local guys, local media guys. They're narratives that have been driven and championed by nerdy analytic fantasy simulation guys. They're narratives that have been championed by national talking head draft guru guys. They're narratives that have been championed by national media guys that just for whatever reason don't want to like Josh Allen. Regardless of the fact that I told you, if there's a story you should get behind, if there's a story that the NFL in this country should be behind, it's Josh Allen's story because he has come from nothing. He is a feel-good story. But I want to talk about a couple narratives. Actually, there's more than a couple. I have several. He's never going to be a 60% guy. And the best part about these narratives is these things were said within the last year to the last month. He's never going to be a 60% guy. Well, guess what, Bills Mafia? He has a huge head start right now. He was at 68%, or no, 72% last week. He's at 68% this week. If you're going to do that average, it's somewhere around 69%, 70%, right? That's Kirk Cousins' territory. Only Josh Allen has a killer instinct and a desire to win. Imagine a 6'5", 6'6", 240-pound Kirk Cousins with a rocket arm and a will to win and a will to carry a football team on his back. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Josh Allen will never be a 60% guy. Wrong. At least right now. He was 59 last year with a 7% drop percentage. How about this one? He will never throw 300 yards. Never. Well, last week he threw for 312, and this week he threw for 417. In a game that we didn't expect it to happen. Because all of us that did preview shows, I'm one of them, said, if you didn't like Josh Allen running the ball last week, get ready because he's going to run the ball this week. Because Cam Newton pretty much gave us a blueprint of what to do against the Dolphins. They can't stop a big running quarterback. Josh Allen's going to run the ball 14 to 20 times this week. Guess what Josh Allen didn't do? He didn't run the ball. He threw it. Well. He'll never be the guy that can overcome a bad defensive day. How many of you heard that one? He'll never be the guy that if the defense, he's always going to be that quarterback that needs to have a great defense because he can never overcome a bad defensive day. Well, not anymore. Oh my God, he's horribly inaccurate. Horribly inaccurate. Well, that's actually not true either. I just got done telling you that last week he was at 72%. This week he was at 68%, which puts him at an average of about 70% completions two games into the season. Right now, he's horribly inaccurate, rolling to his left. That's not uncommon for a quarterback. That's kind of normal for them to be like, there's a lot of quarterbacks that can't throw on the run at all. He's a run first guy and he's just better at that. He's always going to be a run first guy. And that's just that's who he is. And he's better as a run first guy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that in that football game against the Dolphins, Josh Allen was a pass-first guy. He stood in the pocket. He stood tall. He went through his reads. He went through he did all of his checks. Everything that you want to see from a quarterback, and he made great throws and completed great passes. If you were waiting for the other side, we're here. And I know it feels like it was a long road, but these narratives that we've been strapped with and that he's been strapped with are going to begin falling off. Even PFF. Even PFF. PFF. And this is just how much I want you to see the narrative change. So Josh Allen did that one scramble where he would not be denied, and he was denied. He got tackled. They said that his quote-unquote forward progression had stopped, but he was like rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, like busting through guys and like willing his way to a first down. He got stopped 2 yards short, but at the end of that play, he dropped the football. And I was like, oh, crap, here we go. He's putting this huge, great game together, and he's still going to have one fumble on the stat sheet because at the end of a play, when he was getting like his brains beat in, trying to get a first down, trying to make something happen, he ended up, you know, with a fumble. But they didn't. They said his forward progress stopped. The fumble didn't count. PFF today, Sunday, put out a tweet, and they said that something to the effect of that he would not be stopped, and they used the emoji with like the face with like blowing the wind out of its nose, like it won't be stopped. And they cut the play short. They cut the replay short on Josh Allen to before he fumbled. That might not seem significant to you. That is very significant to me. Because PFF are not Josh Allen fans. Historically, Football Outsiders are not Josh Allen fans. Even Aaron Schatz came out, Schatz, whatever his name is, came out and said that, gave him a backhanded compliment. Oh, even though he's playing garbage defenses, I got to give him credit. Like, he looks pretty good. This is the same guy that last year, before the season started, said, on WGR, said, we have run thousands of simulations, and there are zero where Josh Allen takes the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs this year. Well, guess what Josh Allen did last year? He took the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs. So the fact that PFF is running now replays of Josh Allen's game, and they're stopping it before the unfortunate thing happens, should clue you into something. That narrative is about to change. And all of a sudden, 4,000 yards doesn't seem out of reach or seem that unlikely. All of a sudden, 40 touchdowns after he's got 7 total on the season doesn't seem that out of reach. All of a sudden, Pierre Kingpin, Josh Allen is the NFL MVP doesn't seem that unlikely. He might be in the conversation. He's got 3,271 yards to go and 16 games to do it. To get to 4,000 yards. I called him at about 3,800, 3,850. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to reach 4,000 at this point. If you want to call that an overreaction, then we will. But let's do this. Let's transition real quick to the end of our show, which always culminates with me reading your tweets. So let's get started. I love the interaction. I love it when you guys tweet me. I love to know how you're feeling. I love to know the emotion. I love to know where you're at. So if you did not get a chance to tweet me this week, your reaction to the show, make sure you do next week after the Rams game. You can tweet me at OverreactionSP1. There's always a tweet that goes out. I retweet it. It gets retweeted on the Overreaction Twitter, as well as Buffalo Fanatics retweets it. So let's get started. The first one, Big Poppy. You guys don't make this easy on me as far as your names. So at, it looks like, Lima Bulldog 94. So Big Poppy at Lima Bulldog 94. Now, I love Big Poppy, but like I don't pay attention to your guys' Twitter handle. So he is who we thought he is, or something like that. Allen is a franchise quarterback. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Big Poppy, that is it. That's what this show is about. Like, this is going to be the year of Josh Allen. I've been saying it for the last 6 months. This is the year of Josh Allen. Good or bad. That doesn't mean that this is the year of Josh Allen good. Like, oh, Josh Allen's going to be the greatest quarterback ever this year. No, what I'm saying is we're going to find out. All the attention. The roster is ready. The coaching staff is ready. The organization is ready. The fans are ready. Josh Allen, this is the year of Josh Allen. And I think right now he is a franchise quarterback. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, just as you said. Dave Thorpe, my buddy Saxa Dave, at Saxa Dave. Loving the emotional roller coaster that is being a Bills fan. Dave, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. McDermott talked about it today that a lot of defensive coaches like to win games 11-9 and like they don't want to have any hair left, which I thought was funny because he doesn't have any hair, but he's referring to the fact that like they pull their hair out, and I'm at that point. So yeah, I don't overly love the emotional roller coaster all the time. Getting back to it. Third quarter wobble is bizarre. It is. Can we just not? I agree. Josh wants that MVP. Diggs is the trade and bargain of the decade. Overreacting to the blindside call on McKenzie. Good God, and isn't that the truth? We missed Edmonds and Milano. Wallace was poor, and I think that's being nice, to be honest with you. Phil Money, so at PMUNNY 59, at PMoney 59. All he had was hashtag Bills Mafia, just saying, never any doubt. Well, Phil, I had some doubt. There was when they took the lead, when they were within four, and the Bills were looking flat, and then they took the lead. I was like, this is getting a little too close for me. If that's just me, that's fine. Brian Cook, at B Cook, BCOOKE23. He's got the Josh Allen flexing GIF in here, and all it says is so pumped. And that's how everybody should feel. Bill Neto at Bill Neto 111. So BILLNETO 111. And what he does is he just gives me the hey, hey, hey. Do you want me to do the drunk hey, hey? I don't think that's what he was doing there. Maybe he was. Maybe he's had a little too much to drink today. Mike S. at Mike underscore Sow underscore 13. Fitz always gives us a hard time. Allen looked good. Running game is still off. It's true. They are not. They have not found their rhythm running the ball. Our D definitely missed Edmonds and Milano. I give the performance a B+. I give Josh Allen an A+. But the overall team grade, I think B+ is probably good. Boz Golf R. So at BOZR 32. Beating the fish on Fitz Magic Day is a wonderful thing, and it feels so good. The last one I got for you tonight, or I should say today, Bills Mafia season at MMU Sports Gods underscore OT. At MMU Sports Gods underscore OT. We know who Bills Mafia is playing next week. Jalen Ramsey, who has called Allen trash in years past, which when we are about to ask him the question on who's the leading passing yards leader in the NFL right now. And that answer is quite simply Joshua freaking Allen. That's a great place to end, but I'm just flying high as a kite. Our Buffalo Bills are 2-0. They went down to Miami. Josh Allen kicked the door down, planted the flag in the field and said, I have arrived. But ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Overreaction Podcast, brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I am your host, the voice of the Overreaction Podcast. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. It's always a pleasure to spend a little bit of time with you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Can't wait for week 3 as the Buffalo Bills take on the Rams. As always, go Bills.
My Wrangler jeans from Walmart are legit my favorite go-to pants. They got that slim cut that's always fresh for going out.
Hey, what's up?
They're durable enough, even for my shift.
Water wrap!
And stretchy enough for when I want to kick back and chill with a movie. So basically, they can do it all, and on my budget. I mean, come on, you really can't beat all that. Shop your Wrangler pants at Walmart.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to have your high five moment with High Five Casino, the top social casino where the action and real prizes never stop. Fun spins and big wins are right at your fingertips with over 1,000 games, including High Five Casino exclusives. High Five Casino is always free to play with free coins given out every 4 hours. Sign up today for a free welcome offer that can get you spinning and winning right away. Visit highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families, where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits, while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.